And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to Truth to Wellness Ministry. I am Dr. T, one of your hosts. Our program airs every Thursday night, 6 to 6:30, both at this station as well as 91.7 WAPB in Madison, Florida. You can also follow us on the web by going to truthtowellness.com. That again is truthtowellness.com. And if you go to the radio program, you can see both Season 2 and Season 3, which is where we are right now. And you can see the previous programs as well as the programs playing right now. Today we are looking at the fruits of the Holy Spirit in our study of the Holy Spirit series. And as such, we are on part 4, which is the first segment on the fruits. Part 5 also looks at the fruits of the Spirit. And then in part 6, we are going to look at spiritual gifts. Again, if you have not heard the previous parts to this teachings, please feel free to go to our website, truthtowellness.com. If you go on the radio program, you're going to be able to actually hear the previous elements and that way be able to get the essence of the whole teaching on the Holy Spirit as presented by Pastor Howard. I have asked Pastor Howard to lead us through these studies on the Holy Spirit. I can assure you from having known Pastor Howard for some time that he definitely not only knows the subject matter, but also lives it. And that is very important. I think it's very important to understand that we need to hear from somebody who actually is walking the life of a Christian warrior who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, I have known Pastor Howard for some time now, and I can assure you that he definitely lives that life. Pastor Howard, go ahead.
So let's begin now to look at the individual fruit and characteristics of love. Galatians 5:22 says, joy. Joy is love's reaction to God's mercies and benefits and blessings. There's an exuberance about life in Christ. Christian joy is not to be confused with worldly pleasure. Many times, happiness is related to happenings. Our happiness can so quickly evaporate if it's based on circumstances. So happenings cause us to be happy. I have a new car. I'm so happy. I go down to the local store and someone scratches it. I'm unhappy. I've lost my happiness. But about Paul and Silas in prison, Acts chapter 16. They'd been beaten. They were in jail, in the innermost dungeon, in stocks, their feet in stocks, and yet they decide to start praising the Lord. They have joy in spite of their circumstances. Do the circumstances which Paul and Silas find themselves cause their joy to evaporate? No. We see that this joy, which is a facet of love, trusts God even in the most trying of circumstances. I firmly believe that the true Christian life is a joyful life. There are many that would suppress emotion. Nowhere does the Bible condemn emotion, but neither does it teach emotionalism. Emotional worship is cold, dead worship. If we're not moved, if our emotions are not stirred, we're just going through the motions. Of course, I need to say here that we should exercise control to distinguish between emotional extravagance and the true and genuine operations of the Holy Spirit. Here's a couple of scriptures from the Old Testament regarding joy. From Nehemiah chapter 8, he says, go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When there's a joy in your heart, there's a strength about your life. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What a wonderful promise. In your presence, in the presence of the living God, In the presence of Jesus, our Saviour, there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures for evermore. And then a scripture from the New Testament, from Peter, 1 Peter 1 verse 8, whom having not seen you love, he's talking about, we haven't seen Jesus, but he says, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. We've never seen Jesus in the natural. He died 2,000 years ago. But he's saying, in believing, we have this wonderful, inexpressible joy. There's something refreshing and exhilarating about a truly joyful person. It's contagious. Could I suggest that also this facet of agape, the joy of the Lord, joyfully does for others. It's not joy for ourselves, it joyfully does for others. We should never be in this attitude which says, I'm doing this because it needs doing, but I'm not too happy. I'll do it if you can't find anyone else to do it. If it's drudgery, if it's a problem, it's not agape. It's not the joy of the Lord. So the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's move on to the second one, which is peace. Galatians 5:22, peace. Friends, we can never know the peace of God until we are at peace with God. Those of us who have come in true repentance and faith in the finished work of Christ have peace with God. Let me ask you, do you have peace with God today? Have you trusted God with your life? Have you submitted your life to him? That's peace with God. But now we're talking about the peace of God. I want to suggest that this peace referred to in Galatians is not primarily speaking of peace with God, this forgiveness, this justification, this cleansing from sin, but it's declaring then the manifestation of peacefulness towards others. I'm at peace with my family, with my brothers, with my sisters. I'm not quarrelsome or contentious. There's no party spirit in me. We're daily seeking to live peaceably with all men. Wonderful verse here from Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not a peace that the world gives, do I give you. My peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then this wonderful portion again, Paul writing to the church at Philippi, he says, chapter 4, verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's look for a moment at this, at the question of world peace. We know we live in a world with wars and rumours of wars. Every time we look at a newspaper or turn on our television, there's war. Peace, it's so elusive because its foundation is based on fear. We agree not to kill each other. One nation saying, well, I won't kill you if you don't kill us. It's an enforced peace based on fear. Mankind expending much energy, hard work and effort to secure world peace, but having no desire to ask the Prince of Peace into their hearts and lives. Those of you over 40 will remember the Beatles, a great pop group from England in the 1960s. One of their best sellers was All You Need Is Love, and yet they hated each other. They didn't get on at all well, and yet they could sing about it. The only basis of real peace is to perceive it from the hand of the Prince of Peace. Are you tonight anxious, worried, fretful, or is the peace of God your portion? He offers you peace. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Move on to the next one, which is long-suffering, which in other words is patience, forbearance, a willingness to stick with things. Most of us are a little short of this gracious virtue of patience. Sometimes our prayer might be, Lord, give me patience and give it me now. We're impatient for patience. Patience is love untiring, persevering through fire and flood. We're using a lot of Bible verses tonight, which is good. I love the Word of God. It's life-changing. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How many of us tonight can say that he's been patient with us? I can. He's been patient with me. And yes, he continues to be patient, not wanting any to perish. Don't let us be too critical when souls don't respond to the gospel, when people deliberately choose to live in sin and turn their back on God. Now, God was patient with us too. Psalm 86:15. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. So the Holy Spirit's desire is to bring forth this characteristic of love in all our lives, that we be long-suffering and patient toward one another. We all know that because of our weaknesses and failures, we will get all sorts of opportunities in the future to demonstrate this fruit of the Spirit. Wonderful illustration here. Someone once said, you can't grow oranges in Alaska. The climate's not right. Similarly, patience will only grow in a climate of adversity. James 1 verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. When I look back on my life with my wife and the wonderful way the Lord has led us, we see there have been many times when we've just had to be patient and wait. We had to wait for our children, 7 years, I think, before our first child was born. We had to wait for our green card to come and work in America. We had to wait for our home to sell in England. Wait patiently. Friends, God's timing is always right. God is never early. He's never late. He's always on time. And then there are those divine delays in our lives. There are times when we're delayed and it's a divine delay. We would say, where is God when I need him? Even the strongest saint can begin to doubt and to lose faith. What about Martha and Mary when Lazarus took sick? Where is Jesus? I thought he loved us. I thought he would be here. But you know, he delayed so that a greater miracle might be seen. He didn't raise Lazarus from a sickbed. He raised him from the tomb. So those delays, accept them, embrace them. God is at work in your life. A little saying here that I like. It's not just the steps of a good man that are ordered by the Lord. It's the stops of a good man too. So Hebrews 6 verse 12 says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So we see that patience is love untiring. As life presses in around us and we're tempted to ask, where are you, Lord? Maybe we're willing. May we be willing to let patience have its perfect work in our lives. Let's move on to the next fruit of the Spirit, which is kindness, or gentleness, or sweetness. Or put another way, a sense of compassion in the heart. If you read the miracles of Jesus, he moved from one situation to another. He was moved with compassion. Then he was moved with compassion. This is the fruit of the Spirit that we should all strive to demonstrate when dealing with others in their faults. How would we like people to treat us? Well, that's how we should treat people. How does God deal with us? Well, the Lord is kind, isn't he? Look at this beautiful portion of the Bible again from Titus chapter 3. For we ourselves once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we had done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour. And having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a word frequently used to depict God's dealing with his people. Yes, there are times when he has to deal with us, even correct us or rebuke us, because of our stubbornness, our rebellion, and even chastise us, but he is never unkind. Friends, discipline is always for us and never against us. Why do we discipline our natural children? Why? Because we love them. So always remember, whilst God is kind, he's not soft. We must never think that because he's such a nice God, he'll let us off the hook. Sometimes as pastors, as brothers and sisters, and as dads and mums, we have that responsibility. There's a beautiful verse in Galatians where Paul says, "Have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Have I become your enemy because I have to say something to you to put you right?" 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, this is the Apostle Paul again. He says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, but with all long-suffering and teaching." No circumstance can ever justify the unkind treatment of others. Let me say that again. No circumstance can ever justify the unkind treatment of others. So here is the fruit of the Spirit that is a wonderful and noble virtue, and is best seen in our ability to reprove kindly. Gentleness, kindness, dealing with others in their faults. Let's all seek opportunities to be kind.
Thank you, Pastor Howard. As I was sitting here and listening, I really can catch myself in many things that you're speaking. I can see where the need for us to live a Christian character, not live by some rules and some legalistic regulations, and I don't know how to call them, but to live actually by this Christian standards of love, compassion, understanding. I really appreciate you sharing that, because I wonder if we don't hear enough of it here. I think here in US we end up being focused very often on other elements and maybe politics and maybe other things, but forget to minister to our neighbor, forget to be compassionate to the people around us rather than judgmental. That kind of takes me over to a place in Serbia where a brother went over and he started a place for a drug addicts to convert, and that became a very large church. And so what I'm going to do is give you a little bit of a taste of their music over there. I'm going to play the song that that brother actually wrote. He has actually an album, but the song was really developed in this church that essentially is the church of drug addicts who became Christians and started walking in the light of God. Here we go. Thank you.
sam krenuo na put, na put koji vodi do oca nebeskog. Imam kartu u jednom pravcu, to mi je dovoljno. Njihali hiljade glasova i svakoga kupea su Bogu pevali. Oče nebeski, neka se sveti ime tvoje, neka bude volja tvoja, neka dođe carstvo tvoje. Oče nebeski, neka se sveti ime tvoje, neka bude volja tvoja, neka dođe carstvo tvoje. Taj čudni voz sada prolazi svet pod zastavom milosti, danas dolazi do tvoga grada, možeš poći ti na put koji vodi do grada svetlosti. Još danas stoji u tvome gradu, nemoj ga propustiti. Hej, 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 možeš poći ti. Sveti ime tvoje, neka bude volja tvoja, neka dođe carstvo tvoje. Oče nebeski, neka se sveti ime tvoje, neka bude volja tvoja, neka dođe carstvo tvoje.
Wow, what a song. As I listen to it, I should translate to you what the song means. It actually is talking about a train that's going from city to city with a destination of New Jerusalem. It's spiritually discussing really something that every Christian hopes for. I have to admit that very often when we look at people who have been in drugs, people who have lived life at the end, if you will, and they come to Christ, there is something that they bring to the knowledge of Christ that is just simply different. And I remember a pastor over in Canada when I was only 18 years old, and he was a gangster, and he was into drugs and to everything. And he told us he knew exactly which lawyer to go to, which judge to go to, and he gets out. And that's even worse here. So, I mean, that's in every system. And when he became a Christian, he really looked after young people. Whereas many churches were focused on this and that, he was focused on young people. And I remember we had this place for the youth that he organized in downtown. And, you know, all around you would be prostitutes and would be drug dealers, but you go in there, and there is a word of God being preached. There is something to be said about that. There is something to be said about what we stand for. And there are people that I come across who are saying, you know, I'm tired of this. There are people that are saying, this is not Christianity, not the way I read it. I remember I called one of the churches to just connect with the pastor there. And the first question they asked me is, do you need help? First worry, and that was really in a sense that, please tell us that this is not where you're calling. And I thought, you know, what happened with what Jesus said, that if we give one of his little ones just a cup of water, what happened with that? I'd like to encourage you. Let us live a life that is driven by love, by understanding, by compassion. Let's live a life as people of unity and not division, standing together and upholding the Word of God, as even the Pastor Howard spoke today.
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.